If you find yourself struggling with temptation or want to learn how to confront temptation, then you are listening to the right episode of our podcast today. I'm your host, Jim Kiles. I want to thank you for joining me today. Today, you're in for a real treat, something that has been on my heart for quite some time. I'm going to talk about the topic of confronting temptation. That's right, confronting temptation. And so for me, it's something I've been thinking about a lot. I read a book. It's called The Leadership Secrets of Billy Graham. And in it, talk a lot about how Billy Graham and his team, they confronted temptation. Here's a quote from the book. If you've never read it, I want to encourage you to go and read the book. It says, "When wealth is lost, nothing is lost. When health is lost, something is lost. When character is lost, everything is lost." And so I'm going to help us as the podcast family and those of us who are trying to get unstuck and become unstoppable, I really want to help us make sure we don't lose everything in the pursuit of something, right? I mean, it's easy to pursue wealth. It's easy to pursue health. It's easy to pursue the things that everyone is running after. But if we're not pursuing godly character and the ability to confront temptations and say no to things that we should say no to, my concern is we're going to get all the things we wanted, but then really lose the strength, the quality of our life simply because we did not build the right foundation. So we're going to talk about Billy Graham. Those of you that maybe you're listening and you don't know who Billy Graham is, well, first, if you're brand new to the podcast, I'm a pastor. And so I get the privilege of leading a great church called Anchor Bend in Richmond, Texas. And so Billy Graham is a hero to me. He is one of the greatest evangelists of our time. He became well known really in the 1940s. Billy Graham preached the gospel to some 215 million people and over 400 crusades and simulcast and evangelistic rallies in more than really 185 countries and territories around the world. Fascinating to see what God did in and through the life of Billy Graham. And so for to me, I've read his biographies, but I picked up this book and I thought, man, we've got to talk about it. Because if you don't know his life, he not only started his ministry and what you may call, career, he didn't just start it strong, he finished strong. He died February 21st, 2018, and he's one of the men that radically changed the world and never had an uh-oh or some kind of secret come out later when he died or even during his life. He was able to start strong and finish strong. And so I think there's some things that we can learn in our life and through his life and implement into our life that will help us not only start strong, but finish strong. We want to make sure that our life finishes strong so that we can really finish the race that God called us to run. I love what Richard Baxter says. He says, "Be thoroughly acquainted with your temptations and the things that may corrupt you, especially those temptations that either your company or your business will lay before you." Isn't that fascinating? It's not whether or not temptation is coming. Temptation's coming. It's whether or not you can confront the temptation. Can you say no to the temptation? And we're all faced with temptation. And the truth is we've all succumbed to temptation in some way, some shape, some form in our life. But what are some things that we can learn? What are some ways that we can strengthen our life, our resolve? Whether you're in ministry, maybe you're a pastor or you're a full-time vocational worker in ministry, maybe you're in, corporate America, which today is, I believe, harder than ever to hold your values and still climb the ladder, whether it's traveling with others, whether it's environments like happy hour, different work environments. It's so easy to compromise make these little compromises in our life that then lead us down a path that if we're not careful of, will cause our world to fall apart. Now, Billy Graham, not only did he do great things, he grabbed around him, or he recruited around him, a great team of people. And they were in this place called Modesto, California. It was in 1948. And you'll read this in the book. They created what is called the Modesto Manifesto. And so what they decided was, we need some accountability. God's doing some great things in our life. We need to make sure that we're accountable, not only to God, but to our wives, to each other, to the local committees, to spiritual leadership and community. And they decided, we're going to make a manifesto with ourselves that we're going to make public so that we can be accountable, that we understand some of the pitfalls, some of the temptations, and address them up front, which is so fascinating. Sometimes we don't address temptation till it knocks on our door. I wonder if we could be proactive and write down some of the temptations we think we might face, and then begin to write out statements and a commitment and a resolve to not fall into those temptations, but to confront them and say, nope, I'm not going to allow that temptation to take me down, even if it doesn't look like something as a big temptation, a big compromise. We know that it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little compromises that end up making the greatest impact in our life. And so for them, they boiled down four main points called the Modesto Manifesto. And here they are. Let me say them to you, and then I'll tell you a bit of what they entail. And then I want to give us some leadership lessons. I want to apply some principles to help us confront temptation in our life. The first commitment or point they made and wrote down for the Modesto Manifesto was, we're not going to badmouth others. Isn't that awesome? So they're never going to criticize. They're never going to condemn. They're not going to speak negatively about others, because that's a temptation. It's a temptation to put other people down so that we make ourselves look better and seem better. And, you know, Billy and them said, no, we're not going to badmouth anybody. We're just going to speak good, positive, life-giving words. Second commitment they made was in the way they would handle money. Here's what they said: we will be accountable, particularly in handling finances, with integrity according to the highest business standards. So in other words, we're not going to let money become our focus, but we're going to let the main thing be the main thing, and we're going to handle money the way that is professionally the standards of the professional industry. What a powerful thing. The way they get paid, the way they code their expenses, the way they spend their money in hotels and travel. I think we've all seen a lavish lifestyle, whether it's ministers or corporate America, and it's an excessive spending and handling of money. They said, we're going to handle money the right way. Here's the third agreement they said and made and wrote down. They were not going to exaggerate accomplishments. So here we go. In other words, we're going to tell the truth and be thoroughly honest, especially when they report statistics. So they're not going to fudge the numbers. Isn't that fascinating? In other words, when I say it, that's really it. There's no wondering of how much have those numbers been padded or cushioned. No, if it was a good day, they report a good day. If it was a bad day, they reported a bad day. We're just going to be honest and truthful and make sure that when people see the numbers that we post, they know, no, those are right. Those are not exaggerated. They're correct. And here's the fourth commitment that they made. They were going to be pure sexually. Sexual morality was going to be a staple in their life. Not immorality, but morality. In other words, they were going to have exemplary morals. They were going to be clear and clean and careful to avoid the very appearance of impropriety. There's even a story where Billy was in an elevator, and it was just a public elevator, but a woman got in the elevator, and it would have just been him and this woman going up to whatever floor it was that they were going in. And the story says that Billy stepped out. He didn't know her, didn't care, but just was going to take the approach of, I will not be in even an elevator with a woman by myself. And I wonder if just even these four things, these four areas, I mean, wow, what an accomplishment for Billy Graham's life. And Maybe if we just made a commitment in these areas of temptation, number one, hey, I'm not going to badmouth anybody. I'm not going to badmouth my spouse. I'm not going to badmouth my kids or my coworkers or my boss or my employees, my pastor, my small group leader. I mean, just in a general sense, I am never going to speak badly of people. I wonder if winning in that area, confronting that temptation, would make a radical difference in your life. And then the handling of money, just whatever I do, I'm going to be integrous. I'm going to do the right thing. I'm going to handle it the right way. I'm going to do it as if God himself was watching. And I'm not going to exaggerate any accomplishments. I'm not going to fudge any of the numbers. The reality is the reality. I'm going to report it accurately and make adjustments accordingly. And then sexual immorality. I'm not going to have any immorality in my life. I'm not going to look at the wrong things. I'm not going to be around the wrong people. And I'm just not going to allow myself in my life to go down that path that would lead to utter destruction in my life. I mean, what a change, what a transformation. Some, you know, as I've even read the book, I'm like, man, where I got to get accountability there. What if I, you know, watch what I say here? And it just is a challenge to me personally, and I hope it challenges you. So a manifesto, this is how I'm going to confront temptation in my life when it comes in my life. Here's some principles that I thought were fascinating, and I just want to pass them on. I think they'll speak to you as well, just like they spoke to me. First, the first one is talent and character are measured separately. Talent and character are measured separately. Talent can take a leader far, but the accomplishments that talent brings also produce great temptations. And so talent is not sufficient to sustain your effectiveness as a leader. Not if there are present human flaws that are not addressed. Every one of us has a propensity to sin. We have a propensity to temptations in our life. And so you can go far as a leader. You can accomplish a lot as a leader. And the more you accomplish, it seems the greater the temptations that appear. And so you have to measure your life not by the accomplishments, but really by how you've addressed some of the temptations that have tried to cause you to stumble. Because that's what the enemy wants to do. He wants to use those temptations and have you succumb to them so that he can destroy your life. That's what the devil wants to do. He wants to steal, kill, and to destroy your life. And one of the guys that was with Billy Graham, his name is Cliff Burrows, he actually points out how integrity is the commodity that's probably in the shortest supply. It's found in Psalms chapter 12, verse 1, and it laments, "Help, Lord, for the godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men." Wow, isn't that powerful? Godly are no more. The faithful have vanished from among men. In other words, it's just in short supply. But if you're going to confront temptation, we've got to make sure that we address our character and that we have safeguards that keep us from falling into the trap of temptation. Here's another principle that I love. It says, never underestimate small temptations. So don't underestimate a small temptation. That sometimes it's easy to wink at the word temptation or flirt, you know, with that person at the office, or just toe the line of sin, but not really step into sin. You just kind of flirt with it. Be real careful with that, because the challenge is when you'll begin to believe the consequences of playing with that temptation, that little thing that you don't think is a big thing. You feel like there's not very much consequence. So you're just going to flirt with it, be close to it, get loose over by it. And before you know it, you'll fall into it and it'll destroy your life. So don't underestimate a small temptation. Also recognize that reputations are fragile. The book talks specifically about this, and I thought this was fascinating, that we have got to realize that the reputation we have as believers, maybe you're a business owner, mom, dad, husband, wife, our reputations are so fragile. They've got to be handled with care, like a valuable vase that if we drop it, it can never quite be put back together again. Think about that. You drop it. So I can glue it back together, but it's not quite its original design. So there's some fractures, there's some scars, there's some things that I can see. And so we got to be careful about thinking, oh, it's not going to cost me. No, one indiscretion can bury a leader's life's work. Just one. One headline in the tabloids. It's recognizing that what we built over the lifetime, we don't want to destroy in a moment. Here's another principle. We want to minimize secrecy. We want to maximize reinforcements. The thing I love about the Modesto Manifesto is that they put the issues and the temptations on the table. In other words, they recognize these are going to be some of the temptations that we're going to face. So we want to address them. We don't want them to be taboo. We want to have them openly addressed. And we want to begin to put in some safeguards. We want to reinforce our character. We want to undergird the purity of what we're doing and the ministry that we are building. And so they declared what we would call ethical standards. So in other words, I'm going to create an ethical standard so that I can hold up the very thing that God is allowing me to build. And so I want to encourage you, minimize the secrecy, maximize the reinforcements, declare your ethical standards so that you're not in danger of destroying the very thing that God is using you to build. Here's another one. Practice open integrity. An immoral nation invites its own ruin. So it's like, hey, here we are. Instead of practicing open integrity, we are going to practice immorality. So we understand that happens all the time. But as a believer, we want to say, no, I'm going to have open integrity. Look, I don't do those things. I'm not going to go to those places. I'm not going to be put in that situation because of my character, because of my morals and my beliefs. And so we've got to practice it openly. Don't just have a secret standard, have a public standard. Declare it and don't be afraid of it. Even if it costs you your job, even if it costs you maybe your relationships or friendships or opportunities, you got to practice open integrity. I am going to openly declare my standard and I'm not going to waver from it. Here's another principle. Set your eyes on the larger prize. I love it. I'm going to focus on the future so that I can concentrate right now on building safeguards for today. So I'm going to focus on where I'm going, which will help me push through the pain of saying no to some things that I may want or the temptations that draw me out. I got a reason that I'm doing this. There's a larger prize. There is something that I'm called to build and do and create and the impact of my life. And I just refuse. I refuse to allow the temptation of a moment to destroy the power of the future. I love what Martin Luther says. He says, prayer, meditation, and temptation make a minister. Isn't that fascinating? It's not just prayer and meditation, but it's the fact that I can withstand temptation today, that I can say no to it. Well, why would I say no to it? Because I got my eyes on a larger prize. I'm looking to the vision of the future, what God has for me, and I'm going to say no to the temptation of now because my eyes are focused on the vision of the future. What a powerful, powerful truth. And you know, today, as we just think and ponder and create these safeguards and confront the temptation in our life, I want to encourage you, no matter where you are, no matter what you've done, maybe you've succumbed to temptation, maybe you have fallen into the trap. I want to encourage you that your life's not over, that you can rebuild, that God will take the ashes and the mourning, the pain, the hurt, and he'll turn it around. He'll build something beautiful with the ashes of your life and then allow you to help others not fall into the temptations that you fell into yourself. And for those of you that you're listening right now and you say, hey, man, I'm just safeguarding my life. I want to encourage you doing the right thing. Confront temptation. Don't allow the temptation of now to ruin the future of tomorrow. And so build those safeguards. Find whatever your manifesto is, whatever temptations you realize you're going to be facing in your life and begin to write them down. I mean, just say, hey, you know, maybe it's a temptation of wealth, or maybe it's girls or guys or whatever it is. Maybe it's title and prestige and falling into the traps that are easy to fall into. Just write them down and then begin to write statements of where you want to fall or move forward from that temptation. So when you say fall, I mean, it's like, hey, this temptation comes, I'm going to move my life in that direction. Here's my statement. I will never be alone with girls or guys. I choose to be faithful with my life and over-communicate situations that could have become compromising. I mean, any of those statements, you are writing a statement that is making a declaration, a manifesto, that man, when temptation comes, I am going to stay strong. I'm going to not only start my life strong, but I'm going to finish strong. And I am so excited to have this conversation with you, because I really believe God's going to use it to help you build your life, your ministry, your business, your organization in a way that you can stand through the moment of temptation with integrity and character. I hope today has touched you. I hope you've gotten a few things from it that have stirred some ideas to help you confront temptation. If you've enjoyed today's podcast, I want to invite you to hit the subscribe button wherever it is that you consume content. It would mean the world to me if you subscribe to this podcast. It'll come directly into your podcast player. Second thing is, would you share it? Would you just share this podcast with someone you think would benefit from it? Maybe one, two, three people. Just hit the share button. And then the last is review it. Reviews are always great. If you give us a positive 5-star review, that's amazing. It allows people to engage more with the podcast, and it would mean the world to me. Also, if you hadn't grabbed a copy of my book, Unstuck and Unstoppable, Shake Off the Past, Find Your Purpose, and Get On With Your Life, I want to encourage you to go to my website, jimkiles.com. jimkiles.com, and grab a copy for yourself, maybe a couple of copies for your friends and family, and go enjoy my new book. Super excited to have it out. Can't wait to be back with you next time. So until then, keep moving your life forward. Bye-bye.